all the anime. Red Caster, Joe Raven.
Equipment Wielder, Blue Caster, Ichida Zazeel.
Respecting the source material, Green Caster, Zenshi.
Actually White, Black Caster, Ranzak.
Trauma Inducer, North Caster, Saga.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air! Otsukare!
Welcome to Radio Sentai Cast Ranger proper, everybody. We are here at Con Bravo 2015. It is 11 p.m. and we just watched a couple episodes of Beetleborgs Metallics.
Unfortunately.
Regrettably.
Anyone who saw our AFK Con special remembers that we watched a couple episodes of the first season of Beetleborgs, and we thought, well, I thought this would be a proper follow-up.
You were wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, whose idea was this?
I was like, other casters, not so much.
No.
Now we know who to blame.
Only good thing.
I thought once it was a mistake.
The only good thing that comes out of this is the fact that we will never have to watch Beetleborgs for this again.
So it would seem.
Unless Ichi just decides, hey, let's watch more Beetleborgs because I enjoyed the.
You scared the lamp away.
Let's do a special with the Shadow Beetleborg.
I like that line.
Let's watch the cliffhanger ending.
So yeah, we watched two episodes of Metallics, and I don't know why. We hate ourselves apparently. You know, fuck it. I'm going home.
Honestly, I'm fucking
heading back north.
Heading north to the future.
Technically, yes, your home is kind of north.
I am in the north.
I will follow in your shadows.
Everybody keeps.
And I will bring the dead.
I'll go swimming.
Oh no! You can blue the both of us.
So the episodes we watched, the first one we watched was called, what was the first one called?
Metallics Rising,
which was actually episode 2, because first episode is just setting up the villains and the Beetleborgs getting their powers destroyed.
Like, if I remember graphically, like the
Nucus explodes their armor.
And their vehicles. Like, what was the Beetle's name? Their secondary vehicle
the
called?
Zectors.
It was the Beetleborg. The Beetle AVs were the name of the vehicles, and then they were kept in the Beetle Battle Base.
Now, what was the big one that, like...
Oh, Gargantus.
Gargantus. I remember when they blew him
up. It was their version of Titanus from MMBR.
Gargantus is a fucking stupid name.
Yes.
The worst.
The idea was it was super fucking big.
Gargantus.
Yeah, that's your new screen name.
Totally.
He's a big boy. So this episode, though, we see Nucus, the Triceratops dude, deal with it.
Technically, I think he's not actually a Triceratops, but rather whatever the fuck of the name that Stimero from Kyoryuger is based on. I don't know the actual dinosaur name, but I'm pretty sure it's that.
It's a kid show. It's an American kid show. He's a fucking Triceratops.
I'm just trying to clarify for the one person who listens
if
and
this
is like, no,
was on a stand, I would have just dropped it.
Please don't
drop
it.
Just spin it.
Those things are expensive.
Just
real loud.
Just spin it.
Don't worry, it's a rental.
We will coin Mike spin.
We apologize for all the sound in the back.
Wombo combo!
Get your ass whooped!
Look at all those chickens.
There are panels in rooms either
that room or
the other side.
Just
in that one.
They're quiet.
They're quiet.
They're a civil bunch.
I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
We were pretty bad watching those things, to be fair.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's only so much, you know, eye gouging you can take from a show before you snap. And
the worst part about the timing of this recording is that we're actually competing with D20 Live.
We all know that, Chestnut.
Actually, no.
This is the first year I've not been able to see it since it started.
Okay, so who here actually watched Beetleborgs and Beetleborgs and Hawks? Both.
Okay, like...
Or
either. Defined watched, because I mean, did I catch it when it was on TV?
Yeah,
sure.
Here's what I'll
tune
say.
In next week. No.
Okay. Absolutely. See, that's what I mean. Like, I'm ashamed to admit this. I actually kind of watched this when I was a kid, and I've said this already, but it seems like it really was because of what it was selling. Like the armor and weapons in this show look amazing.
Sure, absolutely, but like trying to translate B-Fighter over here, it's just like.
It doesn't...
Even as a kid, it didn't captivate me.
Yeah, we should give a...
In an era we were dealing with you know, Power Rangers and, like, hell, even Mystic Knights is, you know, what some would consider unsuccessful Mystic Knights was. I'd prefer something like that because it was fresh in its own design.
What Mystic Knights had going for it was the fact that, you know, first of all, a little more effort is clearly shown. The other thing, too, was Beetleborgs, I always said, was meant to be a comedy. It was meant to be comedy with a few ha-has in it.
Like, yeah. I found, okay, translating B-Fighter into Beetleborgs is kind of like how I was describing Crayon Shin-Chan when they brought it over to America. Okay, here's the source footage. Okay, can we have the script so we have an idea of what we're working with? No! Wait, fly, you're on your own.
What is the original story for B-Fighter?
Okay, so I was going to explain a little bit about the show. So the source material for Beetleborgs is a Japanese show called Juko B-Fighter.
Spoilers, it's not about manga.
And
nope.
And the Metallic season is called B-Fighter Kabuto. I don't know terribly much. I only watched about one or two episodes of the original. All I know is they were like bug enthusiasts who happened upon the villains and their powers. I don't remember the context to which they get their powers, but it doesn't really matter.
So it's still kind of stupid.
It's way less stupid, but
it's only more interesting because it's Japanese.
I wouldn't even put it that far. I mean, you guys know I'm really willing to accept almost anything if I like something about it, but this show was pretty boring from what I saw. But I only watched one or two episodes, so maybe it picks up. I don't know. I didn't stick around to find out.
My experience with Beetleborgs when I was younger, I definitely watched this show. I'm the most vocal about the fact that it has not aged well, like, at all. But I watched this show when I was a kid, and one of the first things that really stood out to me was the fact that you actually do have kids as the heroes. Like, when you're watching Power Rangers, they're saying, oh, teenagers with attitude. Yeah, teenagers, my ass, okay? Like, these people are there.
They didn't know any better.
No, listen, even when I was a kid, I knew what a freaking teenager looked like, okay? I was in a grade school that had a grade 8. I had seen teenagers, all right? And no, they didn't look that old. I was like, yeah, okay, teenagers, my ass, all right? It was cool to see kids. It was really cool to see child actors come in and actually be the heroes of the story.
Actor is a very broad term,
you
apparently.
It's a trade-off, dude. You either have a kid that looks way too old for his role and is a competent actor, or a kid that looks just right and is a piece of crap.
Actually, no.
Few and far between, my friend.
No, here's the thing, though, Paul. Like, I can speak for most people when I say this, actually. Most, when we're kids, we didn't want another kid character because we didn't supplant ourselves into that. Like, I can honestly say, through all my favorite movies as a kid, you know, like Star Wars or Indiana Jones, I at no point wanted to be, like, a kid sidekick. I wanted to be Han Solo. I wanted to be Indiana Jones.
But that's the thing.
I wanted to be Harrison Ford, basically.
They take kids and they make them the Han Solo, the Indiana Jones of this show. They're not sidekicks.
No, but that's the thing, too. I can actually say, I did watch this show, but I could not have given you two shits about the kids.
I
only liked when they were in the armor, when they were clearly not the kids.
Suppose the idea of using kids was to help kids watching the show kind of have something to relate to in the basest form. I still don't think they pulled it off. Was it a good concept? Sure, maybe. I don't think Beetleborgs did it correctly.
Perfect example of what does it correctly. Shazam. You know, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
The kid, he gets the powers and he becomes the adult.
I was gonna say, how does the kid enjoy his powers by becoming an adult?
I was like, yeah, that kind of disqualifies the statement.
No. I'm saying it can be done. You know, the kid becomes the adult, and we all want
to
be.
Well,
sort
all
of
you need to do is free a magic ghost from a piano.
The kids clever. Effectively become adults when they are.
Yeah, I mean, in Turbo, Justin always grew about 6 or 7 inches whenever he transformed.
And they said,
or what?
And they said his dick grew 3 sizes that day.
No, they said his body grew 3 sizes that day.
His dick is part of his body!
Yes, but his sexual organs develop in a different way, and unfortunately the power does not cover puberty.
Yeah. Which is a question I don't think anyone ever brought up before.
Well, now they are. This is the question I'm asking. Does the power affect puberty? Come on, Morphing Grid, let us know.
Morphin time! Oh, my voice changed.
It's morphin'
I just love to picture that, like, literally every time he morphs into, like, the blue Turbo Ranger. No, yeah, literally every time. He just, his balls drop, and then, like, he goes through puberty, like that. And just, the best thing is, like, guys, what are these feelings I have? Oh, God.
I really would have loved it. I would have loved it if they had had a scene in which, like, Justin actually just impulsively turned to the Pink Ranger just after having said anything. Shut up, you're not my mom!
Yeah, that would have been great. He's just like, wait, why do I have all these feelings when I look at a cat? And who was the other two?
Justin or...
Tanya.
And
then later on, Cassie and Ashley.
Yeah, because like, Cassie and Ashley, hey, how's it going? And then he shrinks back down. Ew, girls.
Girls are grody.
Oh, he was 12. He wouldn't really be saying that. So.
Although I will grant you this, Justin had a pretty nice civilian plot arc with his dad.
Oh, yeah. Like the thing about Turbo, it was like, it wasn't the best.
That bad.
No, yeah, like, he wasn't. He was, like, hell, like, I think actually Linkara put it the best. He was one of the only ones who was written competently.
Yeah, that's the thing. Justin was there to do the same thing that all of the Beetleborgs are there for, to give kids something to hopefully latch onto, relate to.
Now, the thing was, the reason Justin was not necessary, because we already thought that the Rangers...
Because we've already seen plenty of adult teenager Rangers.
But Justin was not a bad character.
No.
No, but the characters in this show are.
I was about to say, Justin was not a bad character.
These
not kids are.
Characters. These are
script reading children.
Yeah, like
basically.
No, that, and like
there
look.
Are people to put on the suits and speak things.
Look, if you want to make the show about kids, I wouldn't do that myself. But hey, maybe that's why I'm not a big Hollywood producer.
It wouldn't have been my first pick, to be sure. I just thought it was pretty neat that they did it. I'm not even saying they did it right. I'm just saying it was a neat touch.
Beetleborgs, and this is the one thing I will stand by. Beetleborgs has an interesting concept. The idea of the kids becoming superheroes. Fine, it can be done. But
and the
exactly, and the whole comic book thing. Like they became the heroes they wanted to be. And again, that's actually not a bad idea when we meet like Art Fortune in this and all that. Like he can actually draw them new weapons and new vehicles. That's a
and
neat
does.
Idea.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with you on that because conceptually you're like, oh, that's really neat. That's a thing he can do because it's something, again, you can kind of draw from in a real world experience. But I feel like when you're dealing like something like that with like fantasy or sci-fi, talk about, like, let's look at Kamen Rider Drive. What's the tech chick's name?
Rina.
Rina. She pulls new tech out of her ass every other week because...
Yeah.
Well, how she did that is irrelevant. It's that...
Why doesn't he pull new tech out of his ass every other week when he can just draw it?
But that's all I mean is just kind of the ends to the means kind of
makes it
fall short. But yes, no, I agree that the idea is cool. I just feel like...
I've been working on this for the last couple weeks and finally just got it out in time versus, hey, we need this. Okay, here you go.
The thing is, about your question of why don't they just keep pulling new things out of the comics for them, that's actually what the villains do because in the first season, the Beetleborgs comic is published every week and the villains pull the monster out of the week out of the comic to become an actual monster of the week. But why the heroes don't do this is because A, they don't actually meet Art Fortunes until the first plot arc of the show where the Shadowborg shows up, an evil Beetleborg. So they get Art Fortunes to draw them a whole new Beetleborg because the Shadowborg stole their powers.
So let me ask you something. It literally was the monster of that week that they bring out every single episode. This is an entire town full of Beetleborgs fans.
Yes.
This is literally the worst town to send your giant monsters after. Every single person here is going to be like mentally equipped for the weaknesses of this thing because honestly, they read the comics.
Hell. There it even lies in the thing with the we see at the beginning of the episode. There's a prison break, and no one could care any less. It's just like they actually try to get them on the news.
This woman tries to interview escaping convicts, and they just bum rush her.
As they're escaping.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Hey, I see you're escaping from prison. Do you have any comments for the news? No? You're going to shove me over? Okay.
And what's his face? Evil comic guy goes walking
Less
to
fortunes.
The store, and then...
I like how the store was apparently closed, but the door wasn't locked.
Can I compliment you on your fine choice of words? With the whole, the escaped convicts run out of the prison and just bum rush the freaking reporter.
Yep.
That was the reception she got was not that, but it would have been the least of her worries in real life. That would have been a much more literal situation.
They bum rush a bum.
And here's the problem with Art's Fortune. You say how...
Art Fortune or Less Fortune?
Art.
Okay.
Is Art the one that writes the comics and then that's where the Monster of the Week comes from?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the double-edged sword to that situation. You take the comic and you go, okay, fine. We notice that the bad guys every week are pulling my monster out of my comic and using that against us. Why don't I just write for a weaker monster or a monster that we're able to one-shot?
Or okay, cease publication of the comics for a bit because obviously it's being used by the bad guys.
Okay, fine. So the obvious answer is, well, because the fans will stop reading it because it'll just get boring. Or, you know, you could just stop writing the comic.
Well,
you have to remember that there needs to be monster attacks and there needs to be Beetleborgs. Or Art doesn't have a house.
here's the thing, though. A,
he can move in a flabber.
This keeps happening because, A, they don't... Art Fortunes doesn't know this exists for most of the show because he lives in a different city. So he doesn't even know that this is happening. And
does this fucking monster's coming out? Is that not on the news?
He's a hermit. He doesn't. They literally find him in an upside down chair the first time he's introduced. He's kind of a hermit, so it's assumed that he has no idea these monsters. In fact, he doesn't believe that they're really the Beetleborgs when they show up.
I have to give this show credit.
Isn't that great?
I have to give the show credit. It's amazing at covering its acts.
Yes.
Within
the context of the universe, there's very little plot holes once you understand its concepts. But the thing is, the reason. Okay, so with regards to the Monsters of the Week being pulled out of the comics, it kind of works both ways because they are the monsters in the comics are defeated in the comics, and more than half the time, the Beetleborgs have to use whatever method was used in that comic to defeat the monster.
So don't they just have basically an instruction manual?
Kind of, yeah.
How to beat monster?
Again, like
crap,
I said,
I didn't have crap. I didn't have to change to buy the new comic. And crap! I don't know what the hell I'm doing this week.
But that's why they work in the comic store, so they can see all the comics. But that's what leads up to the interesting final boss of the first season, because it's not a monster from the comics. It is an original creation.
To raise another question, why are we letting children work? They're not old enough to hold a job.
Because one of them, the comic shop is owned by their parents.
That one.
They help out part-time, that's
right.
It.
I forgot about that.
They're not actually working there. They help out whenever...
Because child labor isn't child labor if it's your parents.
You know what it is? Because the Beetleborgs is the most popular comic in town, and every time a new issue comes out, the store gets flooded with customers, so they have to enlist the kids to help sell the comics or literally restack the shelves is what they're doing most of the episodes.
Paul, you had a point?
I'm just saying,
we're reading it
over and over again, stop attacking this freaking town with canon Beetleborgs monsters. Every single child in this freaking town is looking at these giant monsters going, oh my god, I really hope the Beetleborgs come along and hit the obvious weak point that I know that it has because it's in this week's issue.
And that's what leads up to Borg Slayer, the one monster that was not in the comics. Yes, it's called Borg Slayer.
And I can deal with that. Of course I can deal with that. It's a Haim Saban show.
Borg Slayer is what you call the monster because you forgot what the monster was called.
It was the Borg Slayer or something, I don't know.
Borg Slayer.
Just saying, like, there's a reason why this show is so unbelievably crappily written. Like, Power Rangers came out and it was a hit, and they never, I'm sure they never expected it to be a hit. I'm sure they looked at...
Not to that extent.
No, I'm sure they looked at this thing and said, oh look, stock footage, let's see what we can do with this stock footage thing. It's a really cheap way to bang out a show, let's see if it gets anything. And it became this huge thing, and they were just like, alright, we're going to make more stock footage shows from Japan, and we're going to make this one even more cheaply. And so we're gonna hire kids, and we're gonna shoot in a small town set, and we're gonna have just like the dilapidated, haunted house set, and it's just cheap.
Another Metal Hero.
And that didn't work. It worked for a while, but it didn't work. But then you look at Mystic Knights of Tune and Note, which kind of completes the threesome of them. It's like you got the off chance
classic. You've got the attempt at capturing lightning in a bottle again with this show, which failed. But then you get Mystic Knights of Tirnanoke, which is what we should have covered this week.
We will.
Let me... Okay. And in the end, that wound up being as... They used the same style, but they wrote the original story. They decided to make it original content. And that's what put it over, in my opinion, both Power Rangers and this. It was original content. The special effects were an homage to this particular style, but it was their own attempt. And with Beetleborgs, it just kind of shows to me, all right, this is easy, this is cheap, we can do this, let's try. And it just sort of embodies that for me. It's just that really shallow second try, and it leaves a bad taste in my mouth whenever I watch it, and that's why I'm not a fan of the show anymore.
To be fair, Mighty Morphin was pretty original content as well.
Sure.
If you look at Z-Ranger, oh, yeah.
Oh, that is very much a different animal right there.
Oh, yeah, like the hell, the main villain of Z-Ranger was Satan.
Yes.
Completely different thing.
It was still Rita, or Bandora, as she was called initially. But her master was Satan, who she was trying to freaking summon.
Didn't Satan basically just show up as a monster?
He was a monster of the day in one episode of Power Rangers. Yeah. Like, they used that footage.
Well, let me ask you this. For the things that they...
He's the big guy with the green, with the head.
Like the ice crown. He looked like Flurious.
Okay.
Now let me ask you this. The things that they changed from Mighty Morphin from that to that, do you really think it cost them a lot of money to do that?
Nope.
No, it was all just very...
We're going to rent out this juice bar for a couple days and shoot some things.
I mean, I think that they looked at Sentai and said this is a very cultural based story with a lot of jokes that we couldn't adapt. This is a very, like, you know, odd story. Sometimes Z-Ranger isn't even classically for kids, in my opinion. Like, it seems like it's a little more violent than that.
Well, it is. All right.
Yeah.
Japan cultural differences.
Yeah.
That's a lot of argument.
Yeah. But in the end, they decided to westernize it as much as they could. They decided to give it a much more western story. Much more in line with the way their cartoons ran, but in the end, it's still stock footage, it's still a very cheaply put together show, it's still toys and models and unitards and stock footage. They're not very complex things to do, and so I kind of feel, for me, Tokusatsu has been a double-edged sword in the West because it does sort of inspire very cheaply made sensibilities. However, when you get to things like Mystic Knights and the later seasons of Power Rangers that wound up being really, really good, like Zeo and In Space and stuff, these are very much a something from nothing sort of thing that I wind up always really, really enjoying. Like a very something from very small production values.
And then you have the stuff immediately in between, like Turbo. It was just like, hey, that last season was really popular. Let's do something else.
Yes. Here's the thing, and this kind of relates to Turbo. The one thing about Beetleborgs that disappointed me was the fact that almost many of Saban's productions kind of were crossing over with each other. Like, if you look at season 3 of Mighty Morphin, they crossed over with Masked Rider to sort of give that show a pilot within an existing franchise.
Ninja Turtles.
I was gonna mention the
live action Ninja Turtles.
And a lot of people, a lot of people hate that, but I loved it.
I was gonna say, you know what? Despite everything, I'm kind of disappointed that they didn't kind of develop her character, and we haven't seen more Venus de Milo since.
The creators retroactively wrote her out of existence. They don't like her anymore. They don't like her.
Which is absurd, because adding a fifth turtle, yes, is a little absurd, and you'd have to really kind of write around that to be able to explain that.
Well,
there have always been four. Why the hell is there
Retcons
suddenly a...
It's a sixth ranger to a familiar formula. I thought it was... It shook it up in an interesting way. And the best part about Venus de Milo was the fact that in episode 2, she mind fucks the Shredder and you never see him again.
But here's the problem with Venus, is like, you talk about sixth rangers. Sixth rangers at least have a rhyme or reason in the theme of what is happening, like how they got about their powers.
Like cowboys and ninjas.
Okay, but that was sourced from the same idea, right? Like as far as the technology. We're talking about Venus. Venus de Milo. Like, where did her source of the ooze come from? Was just happenstance another turtle of exact same type that just, you know what I mean?
I remember they did explain it in the show. I don't remember the details.
And if we're going to explain it, fine. Another thing that really kind of, I thought they could have, when I say developed her character, done more with, but it kind of falls short when you think about it conceptually. Raph has size, Mike has nunchucks, etc.
Although in that show he had tonfas because nunchucks were illegal.
That is the one of the weirdest aspects to me, how the nunchucks were the only thing to ever get censored.
Not the bladed weapons.
Etc. etc. Venus de Milo was a CQC specialist, and I was like, they're ninjas. They're all CQC specialists. She's gonna have to like really excel above and beyond to say that she's the best fighter of all the turtles.
Her weapon was like magic bombs of some kind.
Which is silly, but okay.
You know those balls that you swirl around in your hands?
Wait.
Doesn't exactly sound too off to me. I mean, I have no context on this because I've never seen that Ninja Turtles incarnation. But if you're going to tell me that the fifth Ninja Turtle is the explosives user, I'm just like, okay, that's legit.
Yeah,
but
no, the open hand fighting.
Yes.
That was it? Why couldn't it have just been the...
Yeah, for sure.
But we're kind of veering off from the point I was trying to make is... the one thing I wish Beetleborgs did that Saban liked to do was crossover Beetleborgs with other shows. Like, ideally, probably Power Rangers. I mean... Power Rangers Turbo either aired at the same time or pretty close to it. I think the comedic style of Beetleborgs would have crossed over with the comedic styles of Power Rangers Turbo not too harshly.
Well, Turbo actually was trying not to be comedic.
When you've got source material of that, when you've got an episode where they get baked into a goddamn pizza,
once again,
all argument goes out the window.
Once again, the point of Turbo wasn't... wasn't to be comedic. The point of Turbo was, hey, Zio was really serious and worked like that. Let's try that again. And then it didn't work out.
Because they didn't know how to take care
Meanwhile,
of
the bitch. Meanwhile, on the flip side of that, yes, Car Ranger was full comedy. And that was the point. Because it was what... And it's always the most ridiculous thing to me. Car Ranger saved Super Sentai. Because the previous show, the one that Zio was based on... didn't go over well in Japan.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Car Ranger was made to be very comedic because in Japan the year before they had just experienced a terrorist attack of some sort.
Yeah.
That too.
And that was like, don't make it serious. Like,
but it was also the point of...
the same reason Forza happened.
It was also to make it really different from the previous one, which I think was... Which one was...
O-Ranger.
What I thought. But the point was, O-Ranger didn't go over well at all. Yeah. So they tried to make Car Ranger the polar opposite to it.
Fair enough.
So we went from a serious Super Sentai series to a comedic one, and it ended up saving the franchise.
Here's,
this isn't just comedic.
You know,
this
we gotta watch some Car Ranger.
Fun of the entire...
Here's a maybe a reason why they didn't decide not to cross over each. The fact was, you know, Turbo was tanking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, hard. So maybe that's like they didn't want to take an even bigger risk because, you know, if they're going to make a crossover, that calls for new footage. And that shit's expensive.
Yep.
That could have been actually the reasons because it was Turbo during Metallics, right?
Or pretty close.
Okay, so if that's the case, that could easily have been the problem. They just said, we're not doing so good on the Power Rangers front anyway. We're not driving more money into this. Like, what is happening on the computer? Sorry.
I sit at the slideshow.
Seriously, just pulling up our thumbnail slideshow here.
I wanted to maximize the picture, so I hit slideshow mode, and I forgot there were other pictures in the folder.
Yeah, what other pictures you got on there?
Just other thumbnails from recent episodes.
There it is. Let's get the smiling face of the guy in front of the geyser of water, please. Yes. No. Next one.
I'm more about get 70 miles per gallon.
Okay, no. There you go.
That's from when we talked about Kamen Rider X.
Kamen Rider X.
Wow,
just
was
one
that
of the
good.
Best things ever.
Yeah. One of the best freaking old school show of Kamen Rider series.
It's
so
funny.
Good.
You guys,
we had
just to kind of dig something back up for no good reason, you guys are talking about like airing tokusatsu in the face of tragedy and stuff like that. And each and every time that sort of subject comes up, my brain automatically goes to
Madoka?
No. When Japan had that really bad tsunami.
Madoka?
Forze, actually.
Gokaiger was the week that episode was all about the Blue Rangers and turning into the different Blue Rangers and then using Final Wave.
Don't you love it when
Don't
you love it when shit like that lines
you
up?
You guys have no idea the amount of shit that happened in anime that week.
Oh
yes.
Yeah, like everything.
You told me.
Wasn't there like another, like a Pokemon episode or something where like it was about a Whiskash like flying
that,
a tower or
that
something?
That was already done in production, but they had planned it for like the week after the flood happened.
Yes.
And so they they stopped the airing of that episode like so hard.
And that's one of the banned episodes of Pokemon for no good reason.
Everyone in anime and tokusatsu just think we're gonna do water episodes this week.
And then a flood, and then a tsunami happened.
Cultural sensitivity is legal.
And so here they are, with half produced episodes, like
maybe
we should not air this episode.
Didn't you tell me there was an episode of an anime that week where there was a tsunami that happened?
Yes, as the tsunami warning hit the fucking TV. Literally, here's a fucking giant tidal wave. Tsunami warning flashes across the screen.
That is, I'm just picturing, like, you know, this is awful to say. I'm picturing,
is that
like,
part of the episode?
Yeah, so I'm like watching it like, wow, they're really
legit.
Getting into this. Let's steer the conversation back towards Beetleborgs because let me ask you something. Well, no, and then we could just say, like, you know, this was a tokusatsu sort of discussion in general, which it has become. But let me ask you something about the Beetleborgs. Which suits do you guys prefer? The originals or the new ones?
You mean between Beetleborgs or Metallics?
Yes.
Oh, Metallics.
Really?
Yeah. I'm on the Metallics boat on that one, too. I think the suit designs were a lot better.
See, I actually like the originals more. I don't, like, the colors were neat. I liked the helmets a little more. The new ones looked, like, maybe it was just I liked how almost organic the first ones looked. They looked like a very cheap Guyver suit in a way. The new ones were too robotic.
Personally, let's not say I don't like the protagonist suits in this show. I've just never liked any of them more than I've liked White Blaster and Shadow. White Blaster and Shadow are my two favorite Borgs, and they make this show design-wise
for
me.
Speaking of which, as someone who never really watched Metallics, I don't know whether it was like the channel that it was on just fucked off on
Fox.
My TV.
It was Fox.
I only saw like the first half of regular Beetleborgs.
It aired on the same block as Power Rangers.
I only ever saw the first half of regular Beetleborgs, and then I never saw the rest of it. What happened to the White Blaster Beetleborg? Because I noticed he's not in that.
So what happened was the Shadowborg was created by Vexor, and he stole the Beetleborg's powers. So Art and Flabber create the White Blaster Beetleborg as a way to combat.
Is that just a tick for you? You have to say it like that?
Yeah.
Don't make me
shake. Well, I can
you.
Do it way better than that. Don't tempt me.
Stop.
So they create the White Blaster Beetleborg to A, combat Shadowborg, and B, get the other's powers back.
Isn't that great?
But apparently, the White Blaster Beetleborg's powers were no longer required once they had defeated Shadowborg. The stipulation is because he was created to fight Shadowborg, Flabber's powers dictate that once Shadowborg was dead, the White Blaster Beetleborg could no longer exist.
Also read as they ran out of footage for him.
That's probably the reason.
Actually, Paul, to what you were saying, this is another just Toku thing in general.
Why do you know this?
He watches too much Beetleborgs.
Everyone gets a guilty pleasure show that they watch and know way too much about. Mine's Beetleborgs!
Fair enough.
We've got more than just Beetleborgs, EG.
But yeah, we're talking about suits we like.
Actually, Paul, with what you said too, yes, I agree that the suits for like the White Blaster Beetleborg and any other like auxiliary one they were cooler. And that just goes with the thing in general.
You didn't even see the other Astroborgs. Their suits are pretty neat.
It goes with just in general, Toku. You know, the sixth ranger is always better looking than the other guys.
Anyone not the main cast is usually more interesting.
It's because, you know, it's the formula. This is a show built on formula. Or a genre built on formula, I should say. And I would say that actually, like, yeah, that was a cool thing for me, even as a kid, to see all these different suits. Hell, that's the reason I always wanted to see that episode of Masked Rider where all the other riders came by.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember seeing that as a kid. I was like, this is so cool. Like, there's all these different riders.
It's the riders from Aquitar.
Yeah, and then I just actually remember like flipping back to that show every now and then just to see if it was that episode because I didn't like Master Rider too much as a kid.
Master Rider sucked.
But yeah, in terms of like which suits I like, I would have to side on regular Beetleborgs because mostly just the helmets I like because the armor aside from the helmets is all kind of samey, but I really really like the helmet designs from the original Beetleborgs. And aside from that, there's one hero in particular that I kind of really like the design of, and I have a picture of him right here. Super Fang!
Oh, God.
This was from the episode we did not watch that I prepared, where
and
Fangula tries to be
so a hero. Glad we didn't. How? Let me ask you guys. Yeah, there goes Paul.
Paul's leaving.
There he goes.
Paul's out.
Let me ask you guys something. I'm assuming most of us watched Wild Force.
Yep.
Okay, Forever Red, when you saw who the villains were,
yep.
What did you, say or do?
I was like, hey, it's the Beetleborgs!
I honestly, and like, I was at that age where I could still possibly believe that these were actually the Beetleborgs.
Oh, no.
I know that they were the Machine Empire. I just, like, I love how blatant it was that those were the Beetleborg. Like, some of them you could have, like, sort of forgotten. You know, they were just, like, a one-off, like, Borg or ally. But one of them was literally the green one, the one with the big pincers.
The Hunter Borg.
The Hunter Borg, yeah.
Which is the Quagata. I like how they...
There's your crossover, Reach.
Actually, yeah, you're right, kind of.
And then they killed them all.
I always like how the Kabuto and the Kuagata are the two focused beetles whenever there's insect themes
here. Well, because like it's just like they're interesting looking animals. Like beetles have this amazing thing where like this is getting into science with Saga. The actual fact is there are more types of beetles than any other animal on the planet. There's over 250,000 different types of beetles. You're gonna get some weird evolution out of that. Funny thing. You know the beetle from A Bug's Life? What's his name? Din?
I've never watched that movie.
Okay, do you know the one, like, the shape of his, like, horn or whatever?
I know which one you mean.
I don't even remember.
Okay, well, okay, here's for the audience, like, anyone listening. That type of beetle was made up solely for that movie. There's no beetle that looked like that. 10 years later, they found one that looked like that. This is one of those times where life imitated art.
Wow.
So beetles are interesting. Go learn about beetles at your local library.
Dun-dun-dun.
What's a library?
Just go to your local library, kids. Like, they're a dying art and you need to bring them back because books are cool. Learn what pages smell like. Stop watching Power Rangers.
Hipster Caster.
I was going to say, you...
Hipster Caster, is that you?
Are you talking about Wikipedia?
No. They took away my hipster powers with this fucking candle, man. It wasn't even colored. It was just inorganic.
Stop spoiling our plot.
The stories. Yeah, so...
And then we just gave you Dave's.
That's what I said.
And I still feel dirty.
To what you were saying, though, yeah, the beetle idea is cool. Like, I'm actually kind of surprised that there hasn't been a Sentai that was bug-themed. At least in...
Go Rigers from Hurricanger.
Yeah, that.
Okay, yeah, but those weren't the main ones. I'm talking, like, that's the theme of the show.
They were, like,
whereas,
four
like,
and five.
How, you know, how Tokuger's trains, Ninja's ninjas. Like, when's there going to be a Beetle Ranger?
For some reason, the Beetles showed up in the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a thing.
There have been Beetle Zords, though. In Shinkendra, there was one.
You can't, like, count Zords anymore. They can be... If
the
Ninja
Zords
has taught us...
now whatever the fuck.
If the Ninja has taught us anything, it's that... You want... What Zord do you want? A dump truck. Okay. Well, I wanted a dragon. That's fine, too. Don't worry about it.
Like...
It's person, dragon, dump truck, dog, train. That is a legit
UFO,
fucking set of
elephant
swords.
Elephant surfer.
And a California surfer.
And a cowboy.
We mentioned this
on a bull.
We mentioned this on the actual hot podcast, the actual episode that we looked at that podcast, but like, yeah, like it almost looked like they were trying to do a theme at first. Like, okay, a ninja, okay, that makes sense. A wolf, okay, you know, clan symbols. A dragon, that's
because
an
he's
awfully European-looking dragon.
Because
a dump truck!
Why? I was like... Oh, you ruined it. And the funny thing is, as stupid as a concept as Shurikenshin is, I laugh at it so hard that I almost cycle back to liking it. But I just find it hilarious.
It's getting fired up.
It's almost as funny as Boner O from Tokyuger.
Well, I find the stupid thing with how they control it. Just like, the rest of them are standing like this, like...
It's a weird process.
I love how Shinobi Maru is actually piloting Shurikenshin from the throne.
There was never, in Beetleborgs, there was never like a big like combination of their vehicles, was there?
There was no combination, but in Metallics, there are a couple of giant battle zords.
Really? Like ones that like stand up and shit?
Yes. Like the actually that's part of the plot. Like the Astral Sword, when it has the four good guy coins, summons Roboborg, which is a giant gold beetle zord that then transforms from a beetle to a humanoid. And then the Astral Axe, with the four coins of the villain, of the Mantrons, summons Boron, which is basically the green... Here's the weird part.
I'm sorry. Boron?
Yes,
Boron.
Its name is Boron. But the thing is, that is a giant, like the Hunter Beetle, it's a giant robot of that. And here's where things get weird. It's green, not silver. Whereas the giant Kabuto Zord is gold to match the gold Beetleborg. But the giant Kuwagata one is green to pair up with the silver Borg, who used to be green. I'm like...
Continuity.
Yeah. Like, why not silver? But that's me being nitpicky. I'm the same guy who fawns over belt mechanics.
Why not silver?
Why not Zoidberg?
Why not Zoidberg?
Go home.
That's what we think about Beetleborgs, everybody.
Can I go home?
Can we please?
Is that an option?
No, you're trapped. You have to tell us what your favorite part of the show was.
The credits.
Yes.
So
the ending. The last episode.
Yeah, no, he just loved watching the monsters play hopscotch.
That's what my favorite part was when the show was over.
Yes.
My favorite part was when we stopped the podcast.
Oh.
Let's get to your favorite part, buddy. I'll do it for you.
Oh, no. My favorite part was where we found out Dragonborg was fucking Sean Connery.
Yeah, like, it was weird. Westernized Tokusatsu had this weird... Not even just Tokusatsu, fucking anime had this weird thing where just if there was a one-off character, they would do an accent. I don't know what the decision was on this. Maybe to make them more memorable, I guess?
I mean, they still do it to this day because the one-off character from the start of Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 is fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, like, you watch, like, any... Like, you watch Pokemon... Basically, 4Kids was the biggest proprietor of this, like, just like a random accent, like a new person comes in, he comes in suddenly and says, oh, c'est la vie, I am a Pokemon trainer, like, what the fuck, why is he French?
I think my favorite instance of that was Edamon.
Yes, Edamon. Yes. Well, okay, here's the thing, though, you answered the question with Edamon, you already win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, it's like...
he was, for some reason, randomly an Elvis impersonator.
Which is totally okay.
There's only two things...
It works for him, for some reason.
Yeah, it makes sense, because he actually sang.
Yeah, this guy's supposed to sing and stuff, so what are we gonna... Let's make him Elvis.
There's only two things in this world you can say to me, doesn't matter if it has any context at all, I will accept it as an answer. Any question. One is Edamon, the other is Mad Max Fury Road. I will accept either of those as an answer.
So now we need to shop Edamon in one of those vehicles from Mad Max.
Oh my god,
put him on the friggin' guitar guy.
Yeah! Yeah!
Metal Edamon.
Okay.
Yeah!
This episode was about Beetleborgs, apparently. That's gonna be our thumbnail.
That's the thumbnail.
That is now
nothing
the thumbnail.
Nothing to do with Digimon or Max Road.
Why was Sean Connery in this? Did he need the money that bad?
It wasn't. Well,
I know it wasn't actually him.
I know. We looked it up. The actor who played Dragonborg was someone named Doug Stone, who's done a lot of additional voice.
He's a voice actor. It's what he does. See, the thing is, though, they weren't going for a Scottish accent. Like, they were going for clearly short of like a Sean Connery here. Like, he had that drawl at the end of his words, and he couldn't pronounce his eshes right. They came out like slurred eshes. Why are you still here?
Why are we still here?
I always still here.
I think we're running out of things to talk about.
Yes. Overall, would you recommend any of the Beetleborgs for anyone?
If you want to watch something stupid and campy from the 90s, it's a good bet.
I recommend it to that guy who was sitting right back there during the freaking live riff, because he seemed to enjoy the hell out of it for some reason.
Oh, he had fun.
Let's make like your mother, Trebek, and wrap it up.
No.
The funny thing about you saying things like that is I have not watched enough Sean Connery to understand the references, so hearing them way out of context is delightful.
Well, that's the best word to describe Sean Connery. He's a delightful wife-beating drunk.
Yeah, no.
The best kind!
You said delightful. Words 2 and 3 on my list were wife-beater and drunk.
See how... I know you, Kevin. I know you.
No, you know Sean Connery.
Apparently.
You go upstairs and just watch SNL Celebrity
Jokes. Yes.
Yes.
famous titties for 300.
Apparently, the 11-year-old Beetleborg.
I'll take the rapist for 500, Alex.
That's therapists.
That's therapists.
For some reason, they had to put tits on the 11-year-old.
Yeah, like, that was just, like, weird. The worst part is, once you pointed it out, it wouldn't stop. It was just there. Like, oh, God, you're right.
Oh, dear, sweet.
Do we need to sexualize the armor? Wait, of course we do.
It's Japan.
Yeah.
Night, everybody.
Well, consider the fact that the actress playing the Japanese version was probably of age.
Still, you see, it's Japan, so I want to believe you, but...
Yeah, I know. Miho.
Of age in Japan.
I was going to say, so 14?
There is a difference.
This isn't Kiba Ranger.
Mizuru!
This was, like, still a kid show.
Yori yori dozu.
Hey.
Why was there... There was a kid show there, too, I'm presuming.
Yeah.
So why was there...
Somewhere.
Boobs on the armor.
It wasn't boobs. There was like a pattern.
So
it was quite clear.
It was flat enough to look like actual armor, like the rest of them. But there was very much the pattern of boobs.
There's
so,
very much a curve.
You know, it was so you knew that that was the female one.
When we were watching Crystal, because we just finished that up, and Chibi Moon finally turned into Chibi Moon after his Black Lady, and like, why does she have boobs when she's like 6?
I want to actually ask you guys a question. Is this the first time there has
but
ever
she's
been...
she's not 6. She's 200 years old.
Is this the first time there's ever been a female voice on this podcast?
Yes.
I think you might actually be. Ashley, get up here. Say hi.
Holy aside shit, from that, aside from that one-word cameo when Danette sat in on the training time.
I was going to say, unless you count Wayne.
Hi-oh.
And that's the wrap.
On that note, yeah, we should wrap this up. So, overall, yeah, we had fun watching... We had fun. Fun. We had a torturous time watching some Metallics. Thanks, Each.
I love you all.
And, for the record, I recommend a Tear in a Nope too.
I'd like to thank all.
Which we will do eventually.
We'll do this. I'd like to thank Con Bravo in general for having us. That was
yes,
very nice.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and to all the guests who came. Some of them left, but you know, still thanks that you guys came out to be with us anyway. It
warms the cockles of my heart.
I love the both of you.
You are now Bravo caster.
Thank you.
I know
all
what
the
your
people.
Cockles are better.
Anyway.
So hopefully we'll be back next year with some more stuff to watch.
And
so,
more people to watch the stuff.
Yay.
And hopefully not at the same time as a major event.
Yeah, I was going to say, hopefully next year we don't overlap D20 Live.
Well, in all certainty here, I just got to say, no, 10 o'clock at night still a thing that we probably needed.
Well, we could do. It could be Friday.
We were surprisingly tame, I have to say.
Yes, for once.
Yeah.
Like, the one time like where we get a chance to like really like let loose, I'm like, no, that's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll be nice.
Yeah.
We're at Con Bravo.
I was
going to
say, I feel like we got it all out during my friends think they're funny.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, you're right. The funny thing is, in the program guide, this panel is being listed as PG, and I looked at that and went, that's not right.
I looked at the PG rating and went,
that's a good trauma inducer.
I am the trauma.
We should shore up our bets and maybe swear a bunch.
PG rating featuring trauma inducer.
I've been dropping F-bombs all night. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
Well, shit.
Fuck.
That's it.
That's the podcast. Thank you all very much for coming.
Good night, everybody. We love you, Con Bravo.
As always, anyone
we love
watching,
you, Con Bravo.
Anyone watching and listening can subscribe to us at castranger.podbean.com. It's on iTunes.
Because they can see you pointing up to
the
camera.
Well,
the
camera's
there. We'll put you out on video.
No, behind that.
Follow us on Facebook group and tweet at us at Ixie Studios. These fine gentlemen mostly run those streams.
Yep.
So, thank you and good night.
Good night, everybody.